This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for today, Tuesday, August the 17th, episode 1496. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, horse world.
Please plan on joining fellow horseback riding instructors, trainers, horse owners, and enthusiasts at the Certified Horsemanship Association International Conference, being held October 20th through October 23rd, 2016, at Middle Tennessee State University near Nashville, Tennessee. We will have days packed with great hands-on equine education concerning all breeds and disciplines, a great silent auction to purchase tack, clothing, books, and much more, fun outings to the Grand Ole Opry and other Nashville sites, and of course, influential networking with other professionals and horse lovers. Come and ride with us by visiting chainstructors.com today to register. See you there.
And that's right. That's what's coming up. And that's next month, right?
It sure is almost next month. We got 2 months to go, but it is close.
Well, you know, we love Nashville. Our last family reunion with all my brothers and families, we got together in Nashville, and we had a wonderful time. We did go to the Grand Ole Opry. I slept through about half of that. But then Charlie Daniels came out at the end and woke me up. So,
yeah, they're supposedly going to have somebody special the night that we're there, but they're not telling anyone yet.
If it's Carrie Underwood, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, I'll be very, very, lucky. And then I'll brag about it on the next show.
Yes. And Charlie was great. I mean, he's still at 80 years old, still rocking the house down. But
love it.
Yeah, it was fun. And we actually got to go to the old Ryman Auditorium because the new one was being renovated or something.
It's closed. That's
neat too. So we got to go to the old one with the church pews and the old building downtown there. And it was an experience. Let's put it that way. It was fun. You got to do that once. That's like the ultimate live radio right there.
And I think so too. It's like the bucket list thing. You know, you have to check it out.
Yep. And then, of course, you'll lose most of your trainers will not be there for the 9 o'clock sessions because they will be down on whatever that street's called till about 3 a.m. And so you will not see if you have anything planned at 9 a.m., just forget it.
Good old Broadway. That is the street. And they'll be starting at one end, walk it all the way to the other.
Yeah. Yep. And you'll be lucky if they show up by noon. So, count on that. All right. Just plan that.
I know. It's kind of how it works. And you know how funny that is because you put the speakers at 9 o'clock that you're like, huh, I hope they're not going to be too mad at me, but we got to start at some time.
I did a keynote speech at one of the podcasting conferences last year and it was at 9 o'clock. It was the morning one. And literally the room was a quarter full because the night before they had stayed out way too late.
So. Yeah.
They all started coming in about 3/4 of the way through my keynote. Lesson learned. Well, Christy is here with the Certified Horsemanship Association. You have to forgive me. I'm a little tired from our weekend. And she is here the third Tuesday of every month. And we're talking training and horsemanship and all that kind of stuff. She's been doing it now for what seems like 25 years.
Gosh, I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
No, it's good. Seems like we have been doing this forever now. And I remember talking to you about it doing it the first time. So, but let's go to Jennifer first to find out what's coming up on today's show.
Coming up on today's, Certified Horsemanship Association Tuesday episode, we are joined by CHA instructor Tim Alderson and Sabine Schlees from Schlees Chattery, and they're both going to tell us about some of the awesome, cool, and fun things coming up at the International Conference in October. And we're going to dissect a list of things that you probably didn't know about your horse trainer or riding instructor. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, I wanted to mention before we go on, Christy, about, and we wanted to give our thoughts and prayers out to our friends and fellow horse owners in Louisiana after the massive flooding they've had down there. It's been a horrible situation. They're calling it a 1,000-year flood. I know there were many horses and dogs and cats affected in that, as well as people. A lot of people lost their lives too. So, I know we have a lot of listeners in Louisiana. So our thoughts and prayers to all of you, and we're thinking about you. And then, if you don't mind, I'd like to do a daily whinny. So let me.
Absolutely.
My daily whinny is a congratulations to Auditor Audra Nicole and her horse husband on the birth of their first baby over the weekend, a baby boy named Elliot. So congratulations to them. It's always exciting. You know, it's always more exciting when you have your first. It's actually terrifying when you have your first baby, right? So we hope that they do well and that little Elliot is happy and healthy, and he's cute as a dickens. So we're always excited to announce when our auditors have special events, and we appreciate her and her husband also being an auditor. So we were at Ada over the weekend and had a good time there. Got to see lots of new products coming to the market. You know, Christy, one of the things that really struck us is how much clothing there is in the horse world now. And I know we've said that the last couple of Adas, but this one there was even more. You know, and 30 years ago, you wore your Tailored Sportsman or your Miller's brand, and that was it. So you had two choices in breeches. But now there's 1,000 in breeches and shirts and coats. Just
lots of choices. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. So when I first got into the horse industry as a professional, and it was my livelihood, and I started going to the breed association conventions and things like that, and I had always worn Wrangler jeans because that's actually my preference, but my husband, not so much. He's a Levi guy. So he's going to come with me to one of these conventions, and he's going to wear his Levi's. And I went, honey, we got to buy you a pair of Wranglers. And he goes, I don't wear those cowboy pants. And I said, well, honey, I know you're not like the cowboy, but you really got to wear the Wranglers because, you know, I'm just starting out and I want it to all be good. And will you please go buy a pair of Wranglers? And bless his heart, he did go and buy a pair of Wranglers, and he still wears Wranglers. He decided he kind of likes them, and he kind of did the switch. So I was pretty impressed.
Or he got tired of you nagging. It's
that
one of the
could
other.
Be.
It's one of the other. So that's what was the thing that jumped out at us again at this one was just a number of clothing companies out there. No shortage if you're out looking for riding clothes, that's for sure.
I'll tell you, I think the best experience I ever had doing anything horse shopping was the Broken Horn in Baldwin Park in California. Three stories of fabulousness. Well, and just you
three
could get
stories?
Lost.
Wow.
Three stories. So one story, Jen, you're going to love it, was all the saddles and the bridles and the tack. The other story was all the clothing of Western English, saddle seat. It didn't make any difference. And the bottom floor was the feed and the grooming supplies and all of those kinds of things. It was amazing.
And, you know,
we're a special trip there.
We were just talking. We're going to get to meet you. We should plug that, too. We're going to get to meet you for the first time next month. We are coming to Colorado on vacation. We've never been to Colorado before. Jennifer has. She went to WESA for 2 days once in and out. And we're actually going to go to WESA, which is a Western English
Sales Association?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And it's the Western version of Ada that we go to and all the listeners know about. But it's supposed to be huge. It's supposed to be like 10 times the size of Ada. So we're going to go out and look at all the cowboy bling and check that out for a day. And then it's August the 17th. We're doing a listener, or September, I'm sorry, September the 17th. We're doing a listener meetup. That's a Saturday at the Colorado Horse Park. You're coming down, right?
I am.
Okay, so we get to meet you for the first time. I've known you for like 8-10 years, and we've never met.
This is a host meetup too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We're gonna get and I think Kim Baker's gonna come down. You remember her? She did the readings for a lot of our horses here on the show. She's gonna come down, yes. And a couple of our listeners said they're gonna come over. So if you're a listener and you're in that area and you can get to the Colorado Horse Park on the September the 17th, then stop on over. I think we're gonna. I'll have have more details on where we're going to meet and what time as soon as I get the details on when the show is. Or, you know, when the it's cross country day, by the way, for an event there, so we can go out, we can walk cross country together and just have some fun. I'm also excited. I get to meet, and the listeners will know who I'm talking about, Auditor Minnie Sarah for the first time, who's been kind of a special person to us, and I get to meet her, and I'm actually going to spend a day with her while Jennifer's out riding in the mountains with one of our listeners. So we have a lot of fun things planned, including 3 days in a cabin in the woods in the mountains there near Estes Park with no internet and no TV.
Good. Off the grid.
Yeah, that's right. We don't do that very often. I will probably end up jumping off a bridge by the third day, but I will try. I will do the best I can. All right. So what's today about?
Today is about a variety of things. So, you know, we have our international conference every year, and a lot of these conferences that you go for breed and discipline, it's pretty ironic, but you never see a horse. You're sequestered in a hotel, and you get up and you do hotel meetings all day long, and you talk horses and rules and events and all those things, but you actually don't see one. At ours, we decided to be a little different, and we've been doing this event now for many, many years, and you have a little bit of hotel stuff, but then you also have 2 full days of getting on horses and riding them. So we always do it at a location where there's great school horses to be able to ride that are all breed, all discipline. We bring in all kinds of cool groups to let you practice different types of breeds and disciplines that you might not normally be used to. So it's a fun, exciting thing for the people that like horses to come and do. And it's open to everybody. There is a registration fee, a day rate, as well as a full conference rate because we include meals and things. But it's a great way to actually get on horses, try new things, and learn from different people.
Very cool. And of course, you have a whole bunch of certified CHA instructors there. So the best of the best.
Yes, we do. We have a lot of our what we call master level instructors, which is level 4-4 in English and Western, including jumping. And then we have other people that specialize just in the Western, let's say the reining portion, or they specialize just in the hunter on the flat portion or whatever the case may be. And then we also have people that are not necessarily certified through us, but are specialty in their own area. So because we're in Tennessee, for example, we have to have a Tennessee walking group come out, and they're going to explain the different types of Tennessee walkers, their gates, how those gates work, and get some of our folks that are there as attendees up on them so they can experience a running walk for the first time if they've never done that before, things like that too.
I mentioned Jennifer's going to be riding one of our Betty Faye's horses, one of our listeners out in Colorado. And what is it you're going to be riding, Jennifer? Which breed?
A Missouri Fox Trotter.
And she's never ridden one of those before. So that's
I've never ridden one before. I'm calling because it's exciting. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really good.
So smooth, that should be fun. Also. Yeah, they say once you go gated, you never go back. But
that's what they say.
I think if you're a serious trail rider, like you're actually, if you're packing in and you're staying out there for 3 or 4 days, those guys all ride gated. Because
I'll tell you, the older I get, the better my body feels about maybe never having to post the trot again.
I think that's true. And you have a couple now. If people can't make it to Nashville, we actually spent with my brothers. We spent 4 hours one day in one of those huge Nashville stores, Western stores, and we all bought cowboy hats. It was one of the most fun days we had was the day we spent in that Nashville store buying all kinds of Western stuff.
Yeah, the salespeople hated us.
Yes,
there,
yeah, because there were like 25 of us, and we each bought a hat, and we had, of course, get them fitted, and yeah. But it was a good time. So if you get to Nashville, do that. But if they can't get to Nashville, you actually do regional ones, right?
We do, yes. So we have still a couple of more left this year. We have one the end of this month, the last weekend in August, and it's going to be held in Waco, Texas at the McClellan College out there. And they're going to have 2 days of great speakers. And if you just look up CHA Region 8 on the Facebook event page, you'll see all the different speakers they're having, but it's going to be a really good one for those in that area. And then the weekend of September 10th, 11th, 12th in Wyoming up in Cheyenne at Larimer County Community College, we're having one for Region 9, which is the region that I personally live in here in Colorado. And so we're going to be up there in Wyoming, and that is also a 2-day event. One day is going to be speakers, and the other day is actually what we call a skills workshop, where people can come and teach for us, and we let them know where they would level out if they ended up attending a certification clinic and what they would need to improve upon if they wanted to level higher, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of a nice way to practice your teaching if you're just getting started teaching or if you're planning on getting certified, to kind of have an idea of things you need to practice before you come.
And where can people find out the details about where, when, and how?
CHAinstructors.com is the best way to do it. And there, if you go to clinics, we have a listing by location and date. And we also have one for regional conferences, listing by location and date. And then, of course, our international conference. Just yesterday, we put all of our speakers up, all their topics, so you can find out what's going to happen in Nashville. There's 28 speakers coming.
Wow. Very cool. Yes. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get through the show. But I found this list I wanted to talk about with you especially because it seemed pertinent to trainers and training and teaching people. And this was off a blog that I'd never seen before called nbhorsetraining.com, which appears to be a horse trainer and a people trainer by the name of Nicole Brickner. She's out of Fox Valley, Wisconsin. And she writes a blog, and she did this post called Things You Probably Didn't Know About Your Horse Trainer. Now, I married one a few years ago, and so I've lived this as the horse husband, and of course, you've lived this as the trainer. So we'll see if she got this right, if she got these 10 things right. And if you go to her website at nbhorsetraining.com, she's also written a book. We're trying to get her on about her book, and we'll talk about that too. But it's called Why Do They Do That? And it's about why horses do what they do. So we're trying to get her on about that. But this was so funny. So here are the 10. And these are the 10 things you probably didn't know about your horse trainer. We're always tired. It's just a matter of what level of exhaustion we are currently functioning at. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? Because it's just never ending.
Never ending. They keep wanting to eat and they keep going poop.
Yeah, they do. And they keep colicking and they keep getting vet bills and the farrier's coming out today. And, oh, that's going to take 4 hours. And, oh, the fence broke. Like, over the weekend while we were gone, a big branch came down and took out part of our fencing. So there's that. And then there's just always something when you own a farm. It's just always something. The paperwork and just everything. So, yep, that one's so true. Most days our schedule is so packed, we don't even have a moment to sit down unless it's on the back of a horse.
Yes, and I'll tell you something about that. We get a lot of people saying, why aren't the instructors calling me back to schedule my lesson? I'm a beginner rider and I want to take a riding lesson and they're not calling me back. You know, well, here's the answer to that. I tell them they're never in front of a computer or a telephone ever. And their cell phone, you know, they're busy out there too. It's even hard to get
messages.
Or
you're on the farm and it doesn't get signal.
Absolutely. It's rough. So you got to give people a week. I tell them all, a week. Give them a week. Don't give them 24 hours like the rest of the world. Give them a week. They'll eventually get back to you, especially if you call them in the summer.
Right, right. Yeah, that is so true. On average, we work at least 12 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. And I like, she goes on to say, don't get me wrong, we chose this lifestyle, but be aware of this when you're going over your availability for lessons, attending shows, and coming to see your horse. So it's true. I mean, you just never get a day off.
Well, I'll tell you what I advise people is, you know, dispensable is way better than indispensable, because the problem with indispensable is you also never get a vacation. So try really hard to find somebody you trust to come in and feed the horses and take care of them so you can at least have an occasional day off, or heaven forbid, maybe even a week off and get to go to a tropical island or something.
Then I'll add 11 to this list, number 11 to this list, and it goes right along with that, and is most of us are control freaks, and we don't want to leave somebody with our horses, because when we go away, all we do is think about our horses.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to throw that one in there, just saying. Yep. Not that I have any personal experience with that whatsoever.
Oh, I no. hear something in no, the air about that. Jen?
I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. You own a barn, you own horses, you're on vacation, and in the back of your mind every day you're going, I wonder how the horses do it. And I do too, I have to admit.
Oh yeah, I just went away for a week and I texted the gal that we had. It was one of my riding students staying at the house, and I texted her every other day. Hi, Chelsea, how's it all going? And she would write back, why are you worried? Yeah. Why aren't you enjoying the beach?
Don't you trust me? Now, Jennifer is better, actually, than most people at that. We'd go on vacation, and I'd be like, aren't you going to check in at home? She said, look, there's nothing I can do about it here. Whatever's going on, they would have called if it was a disaster. So, no, I'm not checking in. And you really, smart. Jennifer really didn't. For a week at a time, she wouldn't check in. She always figured if it was...
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Because there's nothing you can do about it.
True.
Our families are almost always irritated with us about our professional life. Any personal experience with that?
My husband would only be here right now. He'd be laughing.
Yeah, and yours is even worse because your professional life involves traveling all the time.
Yeah, poor guy. So this is so funny. So he's actually leaving to go on a trip. It's going to be a father and 3-son trip. It's really special. And they're doing it at the end of November through December. First of all, I had to make sure that I wasn't traveling. So that was a check. And then he's going to Argentina, which is kind of exciting. So he's doing this big old blown 10-day trip. And my kids look at me, my two boys, they're now 10 and 12, and they go, what? We got to hang out with you for 10 days? We're not used to that without daddy. So it's the other way around. Pretty funny.
Training is not glamorous, financially lucrative, or easy on any level. While it may seem cool to work with horses and a high dollar amount of the sport itself may lend itself to financially well-off individuals, the rest of us are not.
Yeah.
We get kicked, bit, dirty, sweaty, sore, and most times are quite tight on money due to the high business costs associated with training. And I think a lot of people do think that trainers, you know, the mid-level trainers have a lot of money. No, they're spending it all on that farm.
That's the key. You know, they think that their income's really high. They're like, well, you make over $100,000 a year, perhaps with board and everything else. But then I spend $110,000 a year on hay.
Right.
And expenses of the farm and drinking everything up. And yeah.
We had a working student that worked with us for quite a while. And we had her figure out, we had a boarding facility then. We probably had, what, 15, 20 horses at that point, Jennifer? And we had her figure out, remember this? For an entire month, this was her homework. She had to figure out every minute she spent taking care of the horses, every minute we spent taking care of the horses, every dollar that was spent, everything that we did with the horses for that entire month. And then at the end of the month, we calculated it out and it came out to be about 25 cents an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. When you calculate, because in business, you have to calculate in everything. Every minute you spend doing every project, you know, some projects don't count. That doesn't work when you're calculating the cost effectiveness. So when we calculated it out and figured out everything we did for that farm, including fixing the fence and all the time, every second you spent doing all that stuff, and she had a whole spreadsheet and she really did it well. And it really came out to about 25, 50 cents an hour. Jennifer's like, I'm quitting working
at
McDonald's.
She does now she's a horse trainer.
Now she's a horse trainer. Yeah, she didn't learn anything. We tried to get her out of it, but it didn't. We have to judge
to the lifestyle.
Yeah, we have to juggle dozens of clients at a time, their horses, their schedules, and their needs.
That's the key. All clients are not created equal, and all clients' parents are definitely not created equal.
Which leads to the next one. We actually like horses more than you.
Yes, I can see that. You know what they say a lot? They say actually a good horse trainer is normally an introvert and a good riding instructor is normally an extrovert.
Well, I can see that. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And most of the, you know, we always said running the boarding business is it would be a great business without the people. The horses were easy. It was the people, you know, and if the people never came out to see their horses, it was perfect. Just pay your bill and we'll take care of them. Come back next year. I'm being sarcastic there a little bit. We take horses very seriously. This is not a hobby game or passing phase for us. And then she goes on to say, and this is interesting, this may be your form of relaxation, a casual hobby, or a fun activity, but this is our livelihood, and we take it and our responsibilities very seriously. And I'll tell you when we ran into issues with this is, you know, a lot of the people who were boarding with us for years would become friends, and they would come out, and for them, it was relaxation, right? They came out and they saw their horse. They maybe rode, but then they wanted to stay around and talk. Well, we still had our chores to get done. You know, we couldn't stop and talk to everybody that wanted to talk all day longer. And this is a common problem, right, with horse trainers. And what we would just tell them right up front, okay, we're not ignoring you. Just walk with us. We have to do this and this and this. So just let's walk and talk. And then we would just continue working while they talked. And a lot of times what was interesting is then they would pitch in because they'd feel guilty. So then they would actually help you do whatever you're doing. But that is a common problem, right? For horse,
I think, yeah, without a doubt, Glenn. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the things that got us kind of out of the boarding business is it's my house, it's my backyard. And at 9 o'clock at night, I get ding dong on the front door and I'd open the door and it'd be one of my boarders. Can you come look at my horse? I think it has a cut and I don't know if I should call the vet or not. So out I'd go looking at this horse's leg. Most of the time it was nothing, no big deal. Don't even need first aid. Everything's good. But that's interrupting. It's interrupting your movie you're watching with your kids, or it's interrupting your dinner, or it's interrupting your homework that you're doing with your kids, you know, whatever the case may be. And so it got a little bit tedious after
a
while.
We were the same way. We had our house at the farm, and heck, half the time there'd be people sleeping at our house. But, you know, we did put one of the things we got smart about, and this was after a couple of years, especially when you have a lot of teenagers, right? We put a curfew at 8 o'clock. You know, in when it was light out, you know, or especially in the wintertime, and it got dark early. Yeah, and we didn't have an indoor, so basically they were just hanging out, right? So we would just put a curfew. Otherwise, the kids will stay there till it's 10, till their curfew's up. They have to get home, right? So that's what we did. And it was for our own sanity, mostly.
But that's kind of cool that they want to hang out at the barn instead of at the mall.
Yeah, it is cool. But then again, we want to go in the house at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I love this one. And this is so true. While we are not by nature overly emotional beings, we care more than you think. And I would rewrite that to, we're not as cold as we seem. That's how I would rewrite that. But it's true about horse. You have to be tough, right? I mean, basically, what they're talking about is tough horse chicks here. And you have to be tough to do this.
Yes, I would agree with you 100% because you have to be out in all weather. Those horses still need to eat and you still need to train them. And depending on what part of the country you live, you know, there in Florida, it's probably worse in the summer, but you got the bugs and the heat and the humidity. And then here in Colorado, it's probably the winter where you have the sleet and the snow and the cold and the -0 degree temperatures, but you still got to go do it.
That's right. That is correct. Well, we are going to go to our first guest.
Oh, I am so excited about this. So this is Tim Alderson. And this, I love that he put this down, Glenn. I'm sure you're going to have a comment or two about this. Tim isn't from Texas, but he got there as fast as he could.
I'm going to be with you here shortly, Tim, I think.
Uh-huh, you're going to love it. Originally from Orange County, California, like me. And like me, he's no longer in Orange County, California. Tim's equine enthusiasm eventually landed him in East Texas at Pine Cove Christian Camps, where he has served as a head wrangler for over 30 years. At Pine Cove, he oversees all 4 separate riding programs. He is in charge of 120 horses and dozens of wranglers. He's been a member of Certified Horsemanship since 1985. He has certified in both English and Western. He's been on our board, and he's actually hosted an international conference there at his site. And he was the recipient of our Volunteer of the Year Award in 2009. Welcome, Tim, to the show.
Thank you very much.
So good to have you on today. So I am sure Glenn has some comments for you about your Texas Orange County extravaganza move, huh, Glenn?
Well, the barbecue is better, right, Tim?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I saw Jaws as a youngster. So the ocean was not as appealing to me as it once was.
So you're not a big surfer, Tim?
I never got on a surfboard. Love the body surfing.
There you go.
But I was skinny and the water was cold.
Not a good combination for the big waves of California.
No.
Tim, tell us a little bit about Tyler, Texas, where you live now.
Well, I heard y'all talking about snow and sleet and such. We are hot. Hot as blazes. But we have had a breeze all summer, which is a little uncharacteristic for this area, and it's been really nice. I think that it's cooler on the back of a horse, that 5-6 feet above the ground, is just cooler when you're up there. It's we have a little bit of rain right now, which we have been asking for, and it is a real, real welcome change.
And I'll tell you what's neat about Tyler is that the CHA corporate office was there before we moved to the horse park in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, really?
And that was right down the road from you, right, Tim?
That was very convenient. I didn't have to have anything shipped. I could just go there and visit and pick up supplies. It was great.
So many different things about Tyler, Texas. I was there one time to visit the CHA office when I first started with them right before we made that move. But it's been a little while now. I think we've already been in Kentucky over a decade, so it's been a little while.
Hey, Tim, so, I got to ask you real quick. Isn't Tyler known for roses or something?
It sure is, and there is a Tyler Rose Park, which is quite the horse facility. There's quite a number of programs out here where we can do networking and just get to know each other on a more professional basis, just right here locally. It's really satisfying.
It's like the rose capital of the world. You just grow a lot of them, or there's a lot of roses or something. I don't know why I remember that.
Well, Pasadena, California would have something to say about that. But we're in competition.
Well, it's sort of like Lexington, Kentucky and where we live in Ocala fighting over horse capital of the world. And now they just both say they are. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
There could be two of each thing. Why not?
Sure. Sure.
Well, Tim, in your bio, of course, you've been a part of CHA since 1985, and I haven't looked this up, but did you buy the life membership? Were you smart and did that, or no?
I sure did.
Good job!
It took a few years, but I am a life member.
Good, because I was thinking, by this point in time, since you've been around since 1985, I'm sure it has paid off a couple of times for you, so that is good news.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So why do you like being a part of our organization? What is it about it that drew you to it in the first place? How did your journey begin with us?
Oh, well, it was actually required from from Pineco that I become certified as part of my job. And CHA is the foundation which our program is built. Our program may not look like other CHA member programs, and that is fine. When you have a foundation, then of course the buildings are going to look differently. But it has given me certified instructors. It's given me standards, liability to check up on. I have learned through conferences about tack repair and training. And of course, we have helmets that we didn't have before, and safety stirrups, and we use mounting blocks. And every conference I go to, I learn something specific and also something conceptual that I can take back and apply to our situation. And it's just been a very growing and changing experience for me over the years.
How many years have you attended the conference, Tim?
I have been to 24 conferences.
Wow.
My first was 1987 at Valley View Ranch in Georgia, and I learned a lot about facilities at that place.
Was there one that jumps out at you as being one of your favorites?
The first radical change was Grand Cypress. That was our first time to actually stay in a more of a hotel type environment.
Was that the one that was down in Orlando?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had a visitor. We had a hurricane that year that changed, but it didn't dampen. The horse people involved with CHA are very resilient, and it doesn't really matter what our facilities are or where we are. If we're together, we are having fun, and we are learning from each other.
Grand Cypress. I wonder if that's still there. Jennifer interviewed for a job there 20 years ago. But I, I don't know if they still have horses there. That was known as the hotel that had the horses and the horse facilities. It was beautiful, right? I mean, I remember it being beautiful.
Yes, and then another time in Florida, we went to the Oaks, which is a David O'Connor facility, and meeting people in the industry, famous people like that is always great, but listening to ordinary, everyday horse people that come to the conference and see how they change and grow from year to year is one of the highlights.
Well, and what Tim does every year, Glenn and Jen and listeners, which is so amazing to us and for anybody that ends up coming, you will be a part of this. He donates a saddle, whether that's a Western saddle or a Western youth saddle or an English saddle. He donates a saddle that is, and he can tell us a little bit more about it, but made by a local person there in Tyler. And it's raffled off at our conference. And there's a chance to be able to get that. And it's been really fun. In the past, we've had people win it that are insurance agents, and they're there to talk to us about insurance, and they don't even have a horse. So they're like, yeah, no, thank you. I'll give it back. And then we can go ahead and live auction it off. And so we've just had a lot of fun with that saddle through the years, haven't we, Tim?
We sure have. And it's given me an opportunity to talk to most every participant at the conference, because I'm actually trying to convince them to support CHA through purchasing a ticket.
And there is no stone left unturned. If you are not talked to by Tim, that is amazing. And you're hiding out in the bathroom the entire time, because boy, he will hunt you down.
Now, hey, I wanted to talk to you, Tim, a little bit about you. You worked at camps for many, 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 many years. And I know a lot of our listeners probably had their first experience with a horse at a camp. What was that like?
The routine that we're in could be boring. Basically, our schedule is pretty much set for the summer, and so the day-to-day routine is set, but every day is different. The every ride that we take is different. The horses may be the same, which is nice to have consistent horses, but the people change every day, which changes everything. It changes the whole dynamic of the of what we do, and so it allows us to not be bored and to be challenged every day, and we deal with second graders, their first time on a horse, to adults that may have had a bad experience years ago, and the variety of the people really make the program special.
And you've been doing this for a long time, and I'm reading here that there's four separate riding programs, like 120 horses?
Yes, we have the elementary age camp, and then we have two family camps, which is a little different for the camping industry, and then we have a junior high camp that all have horses.
Let's talk about the horses a little bit. We lived, when we lived in Pennsylvania, and actually Jennifer got a couple horses from him. We lived from lived near a company that actually provided horses to camps. And then in the wintertime, they would take the horses back, and then you'd go pick out your horses again next year for camp. And then sometimes they sold off the surplus horses. And actually Jennifer ended up with a couple of really nice horses that way. But do you have your own horse? How does all that work?
We own all of our horses, and that is one of the hardest parts of my job. I go to auctions and I go behind the scenes and watch how the horse traders interact with their horses and see them before they go into the ring. And I try to buy horses from the auction. A lot of our horses are donated, We just never really know what the horse is bringing to our program, what their past is like. So we have a foundational round penning session that we do with each horse, and it lets us know a little bit about what's in their heart.
Is there some of them then that you basically have to start over? You're basically going back to square one and trying to relearn some of the things that they may have learned incorrectly?
Very much so, yes. And try to lay a foundation down from the very beginning. It doesn't really matter how much they know when they come. We want them to know the Pine Cove way. Everyone has a little different way of doing things. And so the Pine Cove way is new to most of the horses that come. And it's surprising some of the responses we get from an otherwise gentle horse.
So how what do you do in the winter with 120 horses?
Oh, that's a great question. Some of our horses go to individual homes that want to help Pine Cove out. Hey, I have 5 acres. I'd love to take one or two horses for the winter and feed them, and we will provide the saddle and bridle and pad and knowledge. So they can do that, and riding them occasionally is a benefit for that. But we go through a lot of hay. We have a lot of land, and we still use the horses on the weekends. And then we also have, during the week, we have an Institute for Wilderness Studies where school groups come out and do all manner of things, and then the horses are a part of that. Because that's what Pine Cove is. It's a camp that has horses. It's not necessarily a horse camp.
Ah, gotcha.
So, Tim, go ahead and let us know about the talk that you're going to be doing at our conference, because it's something kind of unique that over the years you've seen so many of our conferences and you thought it might bring a fresh perspective.
Yes, I'm sitting there over the years and learning and absorbing. And then I look around and I wonder about the people that are around me. And I can't talk in depth with everyone, but there are so many, like I say, when CHA is the foundation, there's so many different ways to build upon that foundation that I thought it would be an idea to have a safe environment where people can feel comfortable sharing what they do at their own facilities. Oftentimes, when I have a thought, it seems good in my mind, but when I get it out and allow other people to hear that thought, well, then sometimes it gets tweaked and changed, and it ultimately becomes better because of that. And that's what I would like to do with this seminar. And we can do all manner of things. We'll have a live horse, and we'll have English Western tack and grooming equipment. And we can talk about training and trailer loading using a tarp. We can talk about desensitizing, bridling. There's all manner of things that hopefully the people that are watching, the participants, will come in the ring and become a little vulnerable in exposing what they do, how they do, why they do, according to what they have to work with.
I'll tell you, I think that's one of the neatest things about being able to put this conference on every year is I try really hard to put it in different types of equine facilities. So this particular year, we're at Middle Tennessee State University, which of course is a university setting, but we're going to be using the Miller Coliseum, which of course is a huge coliseum where they've done all kinds of big events there. But then we're also going to be using the smaller teaching arena that's in the actual horse sciences program. So we see just such a variety when we do these conferences, from universities and colleges to the camp setting to a breed and discipline barn, like Tim talked about the Oaks, which is primarily Hunter Jumper at the time, though now a CHA member named Ken Najorka has turned it into Reining as well, which is great. So we see so much. And one of our conferences actually one year was up in Ward, Colorado. Do you remember that one, Tim? And we were at 9,000 feet. And our people from Florida, bless their hearts, but oh my goodness, that was not going so well for them. They were very, very dizzy from the altitude. We had to keep reminding them, drink water, lots of water, put chapstick on, put sunscreen on, even though it's the end of October and you're cold. I mean, it was that was quite the experience.
That was fun. That's where I bought my first CHA logo coat.
Yes.
Because I needed it.
You were cold from Texas, weren't you?
Yes,
so what do
I
you
was.
Think, Because you've been to so many of our conferences. I mean, you've been to more than double the number I have put on. Okay, Tim. So you've been doing these a really long time. What do you recommend to listeners that have never been before? What are some things that are unique about our conference? Why would you recommend that they attend?
There's such an opportunity to learn. But one thing that I would recommend is to ask questions. We all wear name tags, and over the course of the conference, we become familiar with people's faces. But if we don't ask them questions about where they're from, what their program's like, then we won't ever go deeper than just the facial recognition. And there's so much to learn from the presenters that are actually presenting, but also from each other, that it can really be a life-changing, if not a program-changing, event.
And this year, what we're excited about, too, is not only the breakout sessions, but we try to bring in keynoters as well. And for the last couple of years, National Reining Horse Association has been a big support, and they contact a local trainer in the area to bring in their reiners. And they let our folks get on and do a slide and do a spin and those kinds of things. So lots of fun opportunities to ride a different breed or discipline that you maybe never have before. And, you know, kind of get out of your comfort zone a bit, which I think makes us all very humbled by this sport that we're in. That the minute you think you're really good at something, just change your breed and discipline and you realize, oh, wow, I still have a lifetime of learning to do.
That is correct. That is, I have done that. I rode in an English seminar, and then because of that, I was invited to Houghton, New York, by Joanne Young to come spend a week in their program. They saw this long, tall, what they thought was a Texan, which I don't know if I'll ever be, being from California. And they invited me up there to experience that side of horses, and that was very eye-opening.
And that's what's good, because then you came back, you know, more well-rounded and being able to appreciate the other side of the coin and probably making your program a little bit different because of it. So I think that's pretty fun. So, Tim, we're excited to have you there in October. And is there any last thoughts that you would like to share with folks before we try to explain to them how they can find you if they want to find out more later? Any last parting words?
Yes, I really love the way that CHA honors the level one instructor. And I would encourage people not to be intimidated by what they perceive to be horse people that are higher or more knowledgeable than they, because CHA really loves the level one instructor. That's where the bedrock is. That's where the most of the students, that will be instructed are. And so everyone has something to bring to the table, and I would encourage that. But also, if I could give a shout out to the CHA Region 8 conference that is coming up shortly here in August 26th to 28th at the Highlander Ranch in Waco, Texas. I'll be doing a hard to bridle horse seminar. And there's lots of other seminars as well during this regional conference.
Yes, I think Cheryl and Amanda and everyone has done a great job putting that one together. And we so appreciate them doing that, because we know that not everyone can drive cross country or get on an airplane and fly to wherever our large international one is. So this gives folks a chance to go and check us out, hopefully within driving distance for those that live in the Texas area. Though I know Texas is very large. Very large. So I guess it depends on what side of the state. Well, super, Timmy.
Correct.
For those that don't know, level one is basically our folks that teach walk, jog, and walk, trot. And that is huge. If you look at all the people that ride horses, all of us were beginners at one time, and all of us walk, jogged, and walk, trotted. And that's the majority of who is getting on horses are the people that are just learning. So we do. We all learn from each other, regardless of where we're at in our teaching journey and what we teach at home. So, Tim, how can folks find you if they're interested in finding more? I know you're on our chainstructors.com page, which is great. What is the Pine Cove website?
It's pinecove.com. We'll bring that up. And then I have an email address, my name, talderson@pinecove.com. So it's very, very simple.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. I'm excited to see you in a couple of months. And thank you for sharing all your years of experience at our conference. It's fun and unique, and it holds the same type of education no matter where we are. But boy, we've been in some unique locations. So I appreciate you being on today, Tim. Thanks.
Oh, thanks, you're Tim. Welcome. Thank you very much. All righty.
Well, let's take a break for our song for the day, and then we'll come back with our next guest here. And let's hear a little Jared Rogerson with Have a Good Life. We'll be right back.
I swear I wasn't looking. I just turned around and you were there. We spent all night talking about the things that make us shine and how we never wanted it like this. You're an angel, no doubt about it. You can see right through my disguise, and the way that you're flying's got me mesmerized. I know you're something I could never forget. So have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see you again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. I'm like that pack of cigarettes. I got nothing you need. So go on living your dreams, and I'll keep chasing mine. Let's don't pretend I don't have regrets. Have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. Chalk it up to circumstance. It's over our heads and out of our hands. So have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see you again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life.
Well, that is Jared Rogerson with Have a Good Life. Don't forget, his new CD is out. It's called Heaven. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com, or you can find him on YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of those. But his new, we had him on the show not too long ago talking about his new CD, Heaven. So check that out today. All right, we are ready for our next guest.
Great. Very excited to introduce. Sabine Schlese founded Schlese Saddlery Services together with her husband, Johan, in 1986 and has worked since then primarily in the marketing and public relations area for the business. She has a degree in biology and her MBA, which, of course, is why she can put it to such good use with their current company. She works with over 25 publications on a regular basis, including ours, and supplies them with ongoing educational articles based on the field of saddle fitting and developed by Johan and Saddle Fit for Life. And Sabine has been a big part of our conference now for many, many years, and we are excited to have her on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let me go ahead and just start by saying,
okay, wait a minute. Before
today,
we get started, before we
she
get
goes
started,
everywhere.
Before
yes.
we get started, Sabine, am I the only one that spells your name wrong every time?
Probably not.
Okay, good.
Are you talking Sabina or Schlese? Which one are you
Schlese.
Talking?
Schlese. I can never get it right. I always forget the C, or I have one too many or too many or too little E's, and I just never seem to get it right. I don't know why. But fortunately, Google corrects it and finds it. So that's good.
That's good. That's good. At least it's well enough known now that that happens automatically. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, they do. They correct it, because I was actually doing it this morning. I was going, okay, can't remember. And so it's got to be a problem that you have all the time. But I'm just saying that I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, it makes it a little memorable. You know, if it were just a common name, people would just, you know, it'd be very easy to remember or very easy to forget. This way, it makes it a little harder to remember. But once you've got it, you've got it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it could be Jones or Smith, and it
right.
would just be so boring.
That's right.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're anything but boring, Christy.
That's right. Definitely not boring. No, they bring a lot of fun when they come. So where are you today? You travel so much. Are you at home?
Yes, I'm actually at home. My daughter got married last weekend, so we are taking a couple of days here locally, and we are doing our sales conference this week. We've got all of our agents from North America here, so we've got about 25 people in for a sales conference this week. So we're still busy. And on Friday night, we're doing a Toronto Harbor boat cruise with everyone to celebrate our 30th anniversary. We've got about 100 people coming, so that'll be fun.
You are constantly on the go. And there's something about a high school reunion coming up where you're going to be recognized at that as well. Didn't I hear a rumor of that?
Yeah, it's actually the school's 60th, and one of the local authors here has written a book on the school and profiled 60 of its famous alumni, of which I'm one of them. I'm very honored to be part of this book, and it's going to be launched at the opening of the reunion this year. So that's actually the reason why I can't attend this year's conference, because this is, for me, of course, it takes a little precedence that I would like to be part of this celebration at the school.
That makes sense, but that's okay. You're sending your hubby, so we appreciate that. So that is all right.
Yes, I'm sending my hubby and also Kathy Rothery, who is our director of marketing, as well as our marketing manager. They're the ones that are going to be presenting the talk on Girl Talk, on Saddle Fit for Women specifically, on the Friday morning. And then Johan will be speaking twice on Saturday on saddle fit issues for Western riders, especially this time, as we are looking forward to launching our first Western saddle later this year.
So I just want to interject by saying we do a pretty intensive survey after every conference, and we normally have in between 200 and 300 riding instructors from all over the U.S. and Canada that attend our event every year. And as you well know, horse people have no doubt a whole lot of opinions that they like to share. So we get those opinions, and we not only ask for an A, B, C, D answer, but we also say scale of 1 to 10. And then we also are really brave, and we leave a comment box for them to put their ideas and thoughts. And they're really good about giving us great ideas. So every single time that we have something come up for Johan to do, things like, we want Western saddle fit, or we want all breed, all discipline, or we want to know the difference between male and female saddle fit for the rider, because there is a difference. As we know, as we get a little bit more into it, you can actually be in pain if you're riding in the wrong type of saddle for your gender. So those types of things that every single time I tell you guys, and you always say, yep, no problem. That's what we'll do next year. It's wonderful.
Good. No, we're very, very thrilled to be working so closely with CHA. I have to say, I wish we had discovered you long ago, but I'm glad we found you now. And we are truly, I think, blessed to be involved in such a great organization.
And how about if you tell people a little bit about what we're going to do the day before our conference starts? It's a new thing for us that we kind of talked about last year at conference, and it's coming to fruition this year. Will you let everyone know about that?
Yes, Saddlefoot for Life is offering a one-day professional course, which is going to be geared to the equine enthusiasts of all levels, but particularly the trainers that are going to be attending this conference. It's actually the introduction to our Certified Equine Ergonomist course, of which I believe a couple of our members attended this year in January when we had a course in Florida. It was actually really, really good to have them there because it gave us some ideas of how to formulate this one-day course specifically towards the trainers of the CHA. And we're looking to interest and excite other potential attendees because, if nothing else, you're going to be leaving with new information and some insights on the topic of saddle fit and saddle history, biomechanics, how it affects saddle fit, and also get an intro to human and equine anatomy and also the repercussions of these for saddle choices. So hopefully out of this one-day course, we'll get some people who are interested then in pursuing this and being able to add to their full-time careers as trainers as either a part-time basis or eventually maybe even augmenting or replacing the income they earn as trainers.
And I think that that's so important because, you know, a lot of our instructors that are primarily self-employed, then if they do have, let's say, just an outside arena and in the winter they live somewhere where it snows, what do they do in the winter to keep up with costs? Because they still have to feed those school horses they own and everything else. So something like this is wonderful. We've also had an equine appraiser come in the past to our conference, and then you can become a certified equine appraiser. All these different hats that you can wear to keep yourself going year-round with income, I think is wonderful. So we're excited to have you do that this year.
Yeah, and we specifically like working with trainers because, as we all know, they are considered God in the industry. And what they learn at any of these, ongoing educational offerings will help them help their students succeed. And it's been recognized as being crucial as part of the required curriculum of Association of Professional Trainers in Germany, so that Jochen is actually going over there twice a year to teach them because it's required for their certification as a trainer in Germany now. And this year, he's actually been invited to teach as a guest lecturer in the Equine Sciences faculty at the University of Guelph here for their Business of Horse Management degree program. So that's really exciting. We're really looking forward to that because hopefully that will lead and actually to a permanent position for him. So he's going more into the education part of it. It's like, the production of the saddles, that's a separate thing, and that's running well. He loves to do the education. He comes from a long line of teachers. Like literally over 200 years, the firstborn son of his family has always been named Jochen and has always been a teacher. So he's fulfilling that tradition.
Well, that's why we're so excited to be a part of you because, you know, our mission in life is education and safety. That's why CHA even exists. So what do you specifically like about being a part of our organization? What do you think has been beneficial to you all?
Well, being part of CHA puts us in touch with educated equine professionals who understand the importance of the certification process. Like, I think it's really, really important. Riding is a dangerous industry, and it's still not regulated enough in too many of its facets that you know, possibly you can call yourself a trainer or a teacher or whatever without having the certification. But now I think the riding public is becoming more educated, and they're knowing to do the due diligence of the professionals that they're working with. I mean, okay, veterinarians, you know, what they've got is their degree, but people who are in the, what do we call them, the supportive roles around the horse, some of them may not have that regulation in their industry. And so we truly think that being part of the CHA is crucial. The certification process is so crucial because trainers are so important in the lives of their students. It allows us to support this organization that we feel very closely aligned with. It supports our values and our vision, and it gives us another platform to continue expanding our educational platform and gaining more followers. And, of course, it's a great networking opportunity, and you have excellent speakers, and it's great educational sessions to attend during the conference so that even when we're not presenting ourselves, we love going to see some of the other people that are there. And it's great to re-network with some of these professionals that, you know, especially Jochen has seen at Equine Affair or at other places that they're speaking.
And how many years now have you gone to international conference? I remember, I think it was your first year that you brought that life-size plastic horse. That was great.
Yes, that's right. That was in Lexington. I think this is going to be our third year as a presenter, which is wonderful. I'm so honored that you keep inviting us back, and I hope it speaks to the quality of what we have to present to the membership, that, you know, there's always going to be something new every year. So that's really great, and we do appreciate that very much. Yes, Lexington was good for us because we could drive down and bring Bailey, who is our life-sized actual quarter horse. He's half painted with muscles and half with skeleton, so it's a nice educational tool to have him along.
And what do you think is unique about our event? Because I know you guys go to so many events. Bean, what is unique about ours in relation to others you've been to?
I find it much more interactive. You're actually participating rather than being lectured to. So that's always great, being like hands-on and being able to participate in the things that are going on. And you always have such fun events as well. Like, you know, it's not all about just strict education. There's some things that are really fun to see and watch and be part of.
Yeah, I can't help myself on that. I have to be entertained or else I get a little bored. So I set up things for entertainment value too. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, sometimes Absolutely. That's the big thing. You know, we feed everyone at all of our events, sometimes three meals yep. a day. And we sit in rounds of 8 or 10 and we really get to know each other. And I try really hard to always sit at a different table with faces I don't recognize, because boy, can you learn a lot from the brand new people just over a lunch networking conversation.
Absolutely. No, I think that's great, too. And it's very generous as well. Yeah, that's another point I was going to say, that you do feed everyone beautifully. You have great little side excursions. All in all, it is really one of the better conferences, I have to say.
Well, I appreciate that. And I did not pay her to say that. So for those listening,
no,
come and partake if you would like to.
So what are
the talks in particular that you all will be doing at our event that you can share with our listeners?
Well, Friday morning is going to be Girl Talk, which is, as I said, presented by our Director of Education, Kathy Rothery, and our Marketing Manager, Danielle Corin. As I said, I'm unfortunately unable to attend this. I was supposed to be the one presenting it with Kathy. And it's going to be discussing basically all about saddle fit specifically to women and just the things that you have to watch for and the things that you should look at when you're in the market for a new saddle. And Johan is going to be doing two sessions on Saturday. He's going to be discussing saddle fit to horse and rider, but with the emphasis on the different breeds and on the Western saddle rather than the English this year. So those are the topics this year.
And we're really excited about that, especially being at MTSU, because talk about a variety of breeds. They have many, many breeds. They compete in the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association events. Their students do. And so they have everything from mutton withered quarter horses to really tall, lanky thoroughbreds that have very intense, prominent withers, to all kinds of big barreled, slab sided, you name it, just a wide variety of horses to fit saddles to, and a wide variety of sizes in regards to height, as well as width and narrowness. So I think that that's going to be really good.
And what's really important in all of them is the length of their saddle support area, because you can, and we found that, you know, you can have really long, lanky thoroughbreds where you think they've got a huge saddle support area on the back, and they actually have a very small saddle support area. So Johan will discuss how to determine the saddle support area for your particular horse, your particular breed. You know, there are certain commonalities, of course, between the breeds, but then there are certain things that you need to specifically look at for that particular breed and your own horse. He's going to give you some tips on what to look for when you're just assessing your own saddle fit and making sure that it works for your particular horse and breed.
And that'll be very good, because all of us do have something just a little bit different. And explain a little bit more about, for those that cannot attend the conference this year, explain a little bit more about what's going to be spoken about in regards to the saddle fit of genders. I think that this is something that often does not get talked about enough. And we just tend to buy, you know, what we call regular old saddle, and we just don't think about that. So could you give us some more information about that?
Well, it is actually, you know, a tradition in the horse industry. Saddles were made for men who needed them for whatever, whether it was the military or for working or cowboys or whatever. And women have only really become a significant demographic in the industry within about the last 50, 60 years. And the thing is that they've been riding in saddles that have been made for men, and a lot of them have been trained by men originally. So it's like, well, suck it up, you know, it's got to hurt. And nobody seems to really have taken the anatomy of the woman into consideration. Like, we are just built differently than men. So there are certain considerations in the saddle that you have to look at when you're deciding on whether it fits a woman. Like, for one thing, our upper leg to lower leg ratio is longer than a man's, who are pretty well equal. So that means that our legs need the help of an extended stirrup bar in order to be able to hang straight below our bodies. Otherwise, we will fall naturally into the chair position. Our upper legs are longer. You need to make sure that the flap accommodates the length of your upper leg. You want to get out of that chair seat when you're sitting. Well, especially in English riding, dressage specifically, you want to achieve that beautiful shoulder, hip, heel, straight line. But it becomes very painful to sit on your pubic bone, because we have to balance our pelvis as a tripod. We sit on our pubic symphysis and our seat bones, whereas a man can sit very beautifully straight just on his seat bones. So our pubic symphysis tends to hit the front of the saddle if there's no accommodation made there. That hurts. So we collapse at the hip to escape the pain, and again, you're back in your chair seat. There's, you know, you need some support from behind, because our butt cheek muscles are placed higher than a man's as well. And if there's no support behind under the seat, full men from the cantle, again, you'll collapse at the back. And this is not just even physiological appearances. This is actually, this can have great detrimental effect on your health. Back pain, you know, constant rubbing. We've had clients who have, like, consistent bladder infections just because they have this constant irritation in the front, and just have been told to suck it up. That's just the way it is. So we've, over the years, perfected, which is why we call ourselves the female saddle specialist, we've perfected the art of actually building the saddle to support the female anatomy. And, of course, there are exceptions to every rule. You know, there are some women who are perfectly comfortable in what's available out there. But I think if you're going to spend that kind of money on a saddle and you're going to be spending that much time in the saddle, why not be comfortable? Why not get something that fits you well? And everybody says, well, I don't really care if it fits me, if it's my horse. It has to fit my horse. But your horse will never be comfortable or perform to his optimum capability if you as the rider are uncomfortable, because that's going to translate down and impact him. You know, he feels, horses feel like the tiniest twitch of a fly on their body. Like, just think about how they feel with a 150-pound person on top of them that's uncomfortable and shifting around because it hurts.
I think that's so true. And the one other thing, too, that I've heard a lot about, and I don't know if this is part of saddle fit for the female as well, but the twist of the saddle, could you go into a little bit about what that is and how that works?
Yeah, the twist is probably one of the most confusing terms on the saddle. Everybody seems to have a different definition of it. But the twist is actually that part of the tree which you feel in your upper inner thighs. It has nothing to do with the width of the stitching on top or anything. Like, you can make a twist look very narrow or wide optically, but it all is on the tree itself. And, you know, they say, well, how can you have a narrow twist on a horse that's got a very wide back? That has nothing to do with how the saddle tree fits the horse. We always say that part fits the rider, and then the seat and the seat foam and everything on top is made to fit the rider, and the bottom part, the panels and the skirts and that is what's made to fit the horse. And the width of the tree twist has nothing to do with the width of the horse itself. The twist is made to fit the rider. And women, generally, because we have our upper leg muscles, the quads and the hamstrings, are much rounder. They go all the way around the leg, whereas for a man, they're more on top and behind. So we have a little space between our legs, so we need a fairly narrow twist. As a rule, but again, there are exceptions, but as a rule, we need a fairly narrow twist in order for our legs to be hanging down straight. And if you have a too wide of a twist, you also will feel that your hip bones are being pulled apart. You feel like you're sitting on a 2x4, and you will be sitting like your toes will be angled out. You can't sit straight, like with just something narrow between your legs. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, it's really important for people to understand that. And I so appreciate you going into depth about one of the topics that we're going to have, so that listeners can kind of understand, you know, there's a whole lot more to this than let's just slap a saddle on and go. The biomechanics, right, of riding, the biomechanics, the anatomy of the horse, the anatomy of the rider. And it's, you know, saddle fit is just one part of the many, many things that we talk about at conference. So, Sabine, what do you recommend to listeners who might be attending our conference for the first time? If they're coming for the first time, what are some things that you recommend?
I believe you published the schedule ahead of time, right?
Yes, it's actually on our website right now for everyone to see.
Yeah. So I would suggest, first of all, that if you plan to attend, you download this and take a look and see what the offerings are, and plan out your entire conference time and figure out who it is that you want to see and what it is that you want to learn. Specifically, I would kind of divide the time up equally between some of the theoretical things that are offered and some of the hands-on things that are offered, just to get full impact. And, of course, if you go with a person, a friend of yours, then split up and divide and conquer and see it all.
Yes, we've been told that in the past. You know, when I first started putting these on for the organization now 15 years ago, I did 5 things simultaneously as breakouts. And I got, okay, that's just way too many. We can't do all of these. So then I went down to 3 as a breakout. And I think 3 is kind of the magic number. So there's always something going on that's lecture-based in the club lounge, which is like a PowerPoint this year. And then there's going to be something going on in the Miller Coliseum, which is hands-on and you can get on and ride. And then same thing over in the teaching arena over at the school itself. So we're going to have 2 writing things simultaneously, as well as, of course, lecture-based. So lots of things. And every now and then we also do breakouts that are a keynote that everyone here is just the one speaker. Yeah. But lots of different things. So anything that you want to kind of leave the audience with today before you go that you would like to share?
Well, I want to say that basically, If you want to get the most out of the conference, you know, make plans to meet with at least one new person per day and really network with that person. Like, listen to what they're telling you and try to connect with someone who will take you and your own business further. That's what I generally do as a rule when I go to these conferences. I have a plan before I go. I figure out what events I'm going to attend. And I usually go with Kathy, and we, as I said, we divide and conquer, and then we compare notes in the end of the evening. But we both have a rule to come back with at least one new acquaintance that we will then reconnect with after the conference and use in some way to mutually benefit each other's businesses. And it's worked great. It's really helped us build our network of equine professionals, and you never know who it is that you'll meet at these things. Like, the people that are attending obviously are passionate horse people, just like you yourself. So you have that commonality. And then just finding out what it is that drives these people and what it is in their lives that makes them, you know, get up every morning and just be a huge part in this industry is really interesting. And you could never meet enough new people. I think it's great.
And I love that you talk about that because, you know, you can often say, oh, network, you can network. But at this particular event, because of the meals and because of how we give you a lot of downtime to truly network, I think that you really do get to meet more people at this event than you might at others. And they become your friends afterwards. And you share ideas together via email or texting or Facebook or whatever your medium might be. When you have a challenging student, I think that, you know, you tend to reach out to the people that you met at conference and share ideas with them about how to maybe fix this posture position on the student or whatever the case may be. So thank you for bringing that part up. I appreciate that. Well, we're excited. Thank you for being on the call today, because I wanted to share with people that it's not only the attendees and the CHA members that benefit from this, but it's open to everyone. And a lot of our manufacturers and retailers really enjoy coming too, because they don't just have a booth and just sit there. They're interactive with us. They're a part of every meal with us. They're a part of everything. So thank you for being one of those great companies that is a part of the journey that we do every year called our CHA International Conference. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, Christy. We are really, really pleased to be part of CHA, and we are thrilled that we are now lifetime members with you, and I am so sorry that I'm not coming in October, because I always enjoy the conference. So I'm looking forward then to 2017.
That's right, our big 50th anniversary. You can come and celebrate with us on that. That'll be super.
Absolutely. That will be fun. Thank you.
How can our listeners find you? What is a good website and other ways of tracking you down?
Well, the easiest way to remember us is just saddlesforwomen.com. That's much easier than remembering how to spell our name properly.
There you go.
Mentioned at the beginning of this conversation. saddlesforwomen.com. And we have a beautiful educational YouTube channel with over 60 educational videos, like 2-3 minutes long. If you go on to that, just Google Red Shoes and Saddle Fitting. It's about a 3-minute video. It's quite funny, actually, and actually the bloopers one is even funnier. But it gets the point across that basically one size does not fit all. So that's those are the places you can find us. And we have a Facebook as well, and we're on LinkedIn, and I think we're also getting onto Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. I don't know who has time to do all this stuff, but anyway.
Well, I agree, and I'm so excited, and I will miss you, but I know that we will see each other again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you for putting that together, Christy, and it's going to be a lot of fun coming up, and I'm sure it's a ton of work for you, too.
You know, it is, but I'll tell you, it's one of the most fun things I do about my job. I try to put topics and speakers on this list that I personally would like to see, hoping that because I have kind of a broad interest in a lot of different things, maybe others will as well. And my only problem with the event is that because I'm running around so much, I never actually get to stop and listen to anybody's full presentation. I hear 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. That's the only thing I can say I don't like about it, is that I don't get a chance to experience it at all. But it's super fun to see everyone every year, and we really enjoy it. So I can't wait, because it sounds like you both will be coming out to our 50th next year.
Yes, yes. We've committed to coming out. We talked about doing a live show on stage from there. So we should get that done, too. That's going to be in Lexington, right?
It is. It's going to be in Lexington in October, the weekend right before Halloween.
Oh, very good. And then I'm sure we could get some listeners out for that as well. We have a lot that live in that area. But if you want to attend this year's and go to Nashville and have some fun, October 19th through the 23rd, and that's in Murfreesboro. I can never say that name.
Murfreesboro.
Thank you. It's below Nashville.
For anyone who's listening, Glenn, may I just interject that if you put HRN for Horse Radio Network in the memo box when you register online, we will give you the CHA member discount even if you're not a member of CHA,
cool.
So that you can come and play with us.
Jennifer, could you also post that on Facebook so that people know that and can remember to do that? That would be wonderful. So we're heading out your direction. And one thing Jennifer's worried about is altitude. She's worried about altitude. So give her some pointers on coming out, because I think the second day we're going to be there, she's going to be riding for like half a day, whole day in the mountains. So
yes, yeah. And you don't get acclimated to altitude until 2 weeks, Jen. So just letting you know. 2 days isn't going to cut it.
So, and actually, we're only staying 10 days. So by the time we get acclimated, we're out of air. So,
right.
So what are your helpful tips? She's all worried about this.
We were in Ward, Colorado at 9,500 feet, actually looking at a glacier, and we had the Floridians falling down and fainting all around us, especially while they were on horses.
Don't say this. That's not helping, Christy.
Don't breathe shallowly. Breathe from your diaphragm and take your oxygen mask. No, really. Water is good. Lots of water. Do not think, I am not thirsty, I don't need water. Yes, you do. Drink more water than you would ever drink.
Why is that anyway? I'm trying to think about why that is.
I think it's because literally it like sucks the life out of you being closer to the sun. I mean, all of us are more wrinkly. We really are. I mean, you should see the people that
are born
here.
More wrinkly than us in Florida?
I think so, because we're literally higher. That mile
high. Yeah, we're humid, and you're not humid, right? You're not as humid, so yeah.
Absolutely, we're really dry. I mean, it like parches the life out of you. So lots of lotion, lots of chapstick, lots of water. Make sure you get good night's sleep. And if you drink alcohol, then you're going to get drunk quicker. So just an FYI on that too.
And everybody always talks, when you listen to Food Network, they always talk about cooking taking longer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you look, you have to actually use the high altitude directions here, or your cakes will go flat and stuff will look a little bit awkward.
Does the microwave cook at the same speed? Because that's the only cooking we're going to do.
Then you'll be all right.
All right, good, because just checking. Are you feel better now, Jennifer, or did she scare the crap out of you?
I'm just going to plan on not being able to eat anything and being lightheaded the whole time. That's kind of my plan.
You are going to be on a fabulous Missouri Fox Trotter. Just close your eyes, enjoy the gait, and then occasionally open your eyes for the scenery, and you'll be fine.
Well, see, that's one of the top secret reasons I chose Missouri Fox Trotter versus the three-gated, I believe it was a Trikaner, horse is I figured it's going to be very, very smooth. It's going to be wearing Western tack. So if I'm feeling woozy, I can just grab a hold of the saddle horn and close my eyes and no one will be the wiser.
Yeah, you'll be set.
Now, I just got a message from one of our listeners, Geraldine, who said, I gave my mom Cell Power, and it really helps with blood oxygenation. I can't even say that word. So what's Cell Power?
You know, well, you know that the Olympic athletes train here down in Colorado Springs at our Colorado Olympic Training Center. So the humans and the horses actually come here prior to many of the Olympics to get oxygenated. So you literally, that's why it takes 2 weeks. You actually do produce more blood cells, red blood cells, to kind of get you going and what have you. So there are actually specialty drinks, which I think is what she's referring to, that will oxygenate your blood and have you feel a little bit better.
There you go, Jennifer. As soon as we land, we'll get you some Cell Power, and you'll be good to go.
And I've never tried it, so I don't know if it tastes good or not. So I don't know what to tell you about that.
Geraldine, let us know how it tastes. All right? All right, very good. Well, thank you for putting this together. And hang on, after we need to talk a little bit about schedule, I want to remind everybody we are doing the listener meetup, and that'll be at the Colorado Horse Park on the 17th of September for Cross Country Day, for a 3-day event going on then. And we'll walk a little the cross country till all of us Floridians pass out. And then you can all make fun of us. And we'll just hang out for a while that day, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll get to meet new people, so we're looking forward to that as well. And one last thing, where can they go again?
Yes, to see all of our bios and all the speakers we spoke to today and many, many others that are coming, 28 of them in all, visit chainstructors.com, click on Conferences, International Conference 2016, and you will see it. And then please do register. Go ahead and tell us that you heard about us on Horses in the Morning, and we will certainly give you the member discount.
And Geraldine has come through, and she said it's a product that helps if you do it before you come. It has no taste. You put it in water, juice, or whatever. So there we go. We'll have to look into that, Jennifer.
I love the education on Horses in the Morning.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back here tomorrow on Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be back. She, I guess, made it back to home from Monty Roberts' place on Sunday. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything, so I don't know. But she should be here tomorrow morning to fill us in on that. We'll, of course, get caught up on the Olympics, and a big congratulations to Charlotte Desjardins for being the goddess of all things dressage. You know, Michael Young's the god of all things eventing, and Charlotte is the goddess of all things dressage, and they pretty much just own that world. And so congratulations to her for once again. She scored a 93 on that freestyle. So
unbelievable.
Just incredible. I haven't gotten to watch it yet. Did you watch it?
I have not, and it's on my list of things to do on my lunch break today, I'm hoping.
Yeah, me too. I gotta watch it. It apparently was just incredible. So, well, we'll get you caught up on all of that, plus have some guests and get into the weekend. Don't forget to get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Friday. Really Bad Ads will be back. See you, everybody.